The very first vaccine was developed in 1796 by Dr. Edward Jenner, a physician in England. It began the fight against smallpox.
And the lore at the time said that dairymaids got an infection called cowpox from cows, and they were protected from the smallpox, and indeed they were. So he took a little material from one of the pustules on the dairymaid's hand and then inoculated a little boy, and later showed that he was protected against smallpox. So it was our world's first vaccine.
That's the late Dr. D.A. Henderson, the leader of the World Health Organization vaccination effort that eradicated smallpox in the 1970s. But even back in the earliest days of the smallpox vaccine, there was an anti-vaccine movement. There were early newspapers that ran political cartoons of vaccinated people turning into cows. Today, the anti-vax movement is alive and well on the internet and certain cable channels. Here's Robert Kennedy Jr. on the Fox News Channel.
I got three vaccines and I was fully compliant. I'm 63 years old. My children got 69 doses of 16 vaccines to be compliant.
The facts are vaccines have been proven safe over and over again, and they save lives.
Vaccines are probably one of the biggest things that we've done for the overall health of our children. And in the last hundreds of years, it makes a huge difference in overall public safety and the safety of our children as they grow up.
Dr. Jessica Tate is a pediatrician at the new Sacred Heart Pediatric Care Center in Gulf Breeze.
There's a very well laid out vaccine schedule that's published and set up by the Centers for Disease Control. They have a separate committee, which is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. It's got at least 15 members and then some ancillary members as well that are specialists in areas of infectious disease and disease prevention. And they're the ones that look at the different types of vaccines that we have and the optimal timing for giving these vaccines.
And making sure infants and children keep to that schedule is important.
The reason is that we want to protect children from 14, serious and potentially deadly diseases before their second birthday. And those diseases can occur at very young ages.
Dr. Jane Seward is with the CDC's Division of Viral Diseases in the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases.
These diseases are here. They can come back quickly. And the best way to protect their child is to have the vaccine.
One of the issues the anti-vaccine movement frequently brings up is thimerosal, a mercury-based chemical that used to be used in many vaccines.
It is ethyl mercury, which gets cleared very fast from the body, in contrast to methyl mercury, which we're very well aware of on the Gulf Coast, which we find in a lot of the fish. Methyl mercury, you want to be very avoidant of in large amounts because it stays in the body for a long time, can build up and have toxic effects. The ethyl mercury gets cleared very quickly from the body.
Dr. Kevin Schottmeyer is a family physician at the Baptist Florida Blue Health Clinic in Pensacola.
Thimerosal is a chemical that helps protect the vaccinations from bacteria. And that's only important in multi-use vials, vials that are used over and over again. You know, you're drawing inoculations out of there for multiple patients. And so they put thimerosal in there to help protect that from bacterial infections and spreading bacteria, which is good. But there are those concerns for the mercury. So more and more we're using single dose vials, which contain no thimerosal at all.
And for the most part, the flu vaccine is the only vaccine in the U.S. that still contains any thimerosal. There's another factor that could be causing many parents to question vaccinating their children. Dr. Paul Offit is the director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
I think, you know, vaccines become somewhat less compelling in that we don't see the diseases that vaccines prevent. In some ways, they're a victim of their own success. But if we lower our guard, these diseases will come back. And you probably have no better example than what's going on now with measles epidemics that involve more than 130 children in 15 different states. And that's because to some extent, at least in some specific communities, we've let our guard down.
And while individual children are being vaccinated, it's those communities that are reaping some of the benefits. When the majority of people in a community are vaccinated, there's a herd immunity that's built up that keeps those diseases from sneaking back in. That protection is especially important for children who cannot be vaccinated. Again, here's Sacred Heart's Jessica Tate.
Those are rare circumstances that happens only in very sick children that might be undergoing chemotherapy or have some sort of negative effect on their immune system, if they're having to take certain medications, those are the instances where we do modify that vaccine schedule. But again, we try to get them caught back up and grouped together with their peers as soon as possible.
And once a child is grown, there are still vaccine schedules to follow. Adults 19 years of age and older should get a Tdap shot that is a booster protecting against tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. Dr. Tate also says there is a pneumonia or pneumococcus vaccine for older adults.
That can help to keep you safe and prevent bacterial infections that can be devastating for elderly patients. In very certain cases, depending on your medical history, there is sometimes a booster required, but for most patients, it's just one and done.
There is also a shingles vaccine and, of course, the annual flu shot. As for those back-to-school immunizations, you can find the full list at floridahealth.gov or on our site, wuwf.org. Bob Barrett, WUWF News.